Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our first evening worship service since the time change into the darker evenings now. Just a few announcements from earlier in the day. Tomorrow evening at 7:30 is the monthly prayer time for Northern Presbytery congregations. That's online prayer time via Zoom. Tuesday evening, then at 8:00 in the church hall, is the monthly meeting of session. Session meeting 8:00 on Tuesday, and then Friday night, Senior CY meets in the church hall from 8:00 through to 9:30. And then next Lord's Day, Sabbath school classes meeting at 11:00, and the worship services then at 12 noon and 7:30 p.m. Well, with those announcements, we'll come to the worship of God this evening, and we commence worship joining together in prayer. If you're able, please stand now as we pray. Our gracious God in heaven, we thank you now for this Lord's Day evening. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in this place at this time. And we thank you for your faithfulness towards us, for the health that we have that enables us to be here. We give thanks, Lord, for the blessing that it is to us to meet together. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that you give to us. We thank you for the things that are there in your word that we can learn from, things that remind us of your ways, remind us of the things that matter to you. And we pray that increasingly you will form in us that mind of Christ, that our thoughts would be in conformity with his thoughts. We thank you that we have his life recorded for us in the scriptures, that we can see the way in which your son lived, the one with whom you were well pleased. And Lord, we praise you for the blessing it is to us to know the truth about our Lord's coming into this world, about why he came and what his work on earth accomplished. And we praise you that in him there is eternal life. We thank you that he himself is the bread of life, that in him is every good thing. And so, Lord, help us to put our trust in him, to know him as our own Lord and Savior, and to rejoice in the worldwide church of our Lord Jesus Christ with all your people, and the unity that is there amongst the people of God. Be with us now in our evening worship. We ask you'll forgive all that is unworthy about it and forgive all our sins. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased to do your good work for your own glory and for the sake of the honor of your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together from God's Word. I want to take three scripture readings. Two of them are in 1 John, but the first one is in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and we read part of this chapter, familiar words of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from the beginning of the chapter in our church Bible. The page is 1021. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 1. This is God's word. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then we turn to the book of 1 John, and I have a few verses in chapter 3, and then also in chapter 4. So 1 John chapter 3, and reading at verse 13. And this is page 1083 in our church Bible. 1 John chapter 3, and reading from verse 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then turning over the page to chapter 4 and reading from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And we end our scripture reading there at the close of 1 John chapter 4. And as we come to think on God's word this evening, I'm not speaking on a particular scripture passage as such, but rather speaking on a theme. What would you say would be the one thing above all else that demonstrates that we are growing or progressing as Christians? What would that thing be? Would it be knowledge of the Bible? Is that the big thing? Would it be our ability to serve as witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ? Would it be our involvement in the life of Christ's church? Well, all of those things are good, but none of them you could say would be the big thing that is above all else, because there is something that is more important than any one of those things. And it is that word that was there many times in the scripture verses that we read this evening. The small word, love. And I want to think this evening about growth in love. If there's one way in which God would want to see us growing, it is in this quality of love. God's word reminds us there in 1 Corinthians 13 of that uncomfortable truth that unless love is at the heart of what we see as progress, well then we haven't made progress at all. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. So God's word shows us that we need to consider this matter of growth in love. And the first thing I want to speak about is that this is God's priority. It is God's priority in terms of our Christian development that we should grow in love. The Lord has many important things to teach us from his word. There are many qualities, many fruits, many graces that God wants to see produced and developed in us. But above all of them, his priority is love. And let me remind you of some things that the Lord teaches us in the scriptures that indicate that this is what matters most to him. The Lord Jesus summarized the commandments of God in Mark 12, 29 to 31. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, there is no other commandment greater than these. John 13, 34 and 35. On the night before our Lord Jesus died, he says to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the epistles, we find the same message. Galatians 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Peter 1, 22, we are taught, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Peter says, above all things. Here's the one right at the top of the list. This is what matters most. 1 John chapter 3, we read in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And 1 John 4, verse 21, and the commandment we have from him, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And those are some of the many verses that could be quoted indicating that growth in love is God's priority for his people. God's desire is that we grow in love for him and that we grow in love for one another. And All too easily, we lose sight of that. All too easily, other things become more important in our thinking than what the greatest commandment of all is. And what is God's priority is not matched by what is our priority. And we have to acknowledge and confess that all too easily our love can grow cold. And when that happens, we become more and more unlike the Lord Jesus rather than becoming more like him. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love suffers long, but instead we can become irritable. We're told that love is kind, but we can be unkind in our words. We're told that love does not envy, but yet we can resent the way other people are getting on well in life and it's just not happening for us. We're told that love thinks no evil, but there are certain people that rub us up the wrong way, and we're always ready to think the worst about those people. And we're told that love does not seek its own, but we do seek our own. We think of ourselves more often and more readily than we should. God's priority for Christians is that we would be people who are growing in love. And so this is something that we always need to be considering and thinking about. It's not the case that at this particular moment it's any more pressing than another time. It's just always God's priority. And so we always have to bear this in mind. So that's the first thing. This is God's priority, that we grow in love. The second thing then is thinking about what is love. I want to speak about some counterfeits. The devil would like us to think of ourselves as being loving people. He doesn't want us to be concerned at all that we might not be as loving as we should be. And everything in life that is of value will attract counterfeits. And so you have all those people making the imitation Rolex watches and trying to make a fortune out of counterfeiting the thing that is very, very valuable. Everything that's valuable attracts counterfeits, and so it is with love. There are things that we might think of as being love, but it's not really the kind of love that God is thinking of and looking for. What kind of things are there? Well, there is, first of all, there is a natural affection within families that we can regard as love. But this is just something that is common to all mankind. There's nothing about it that is distinctively Christian. God's looking for more than that. Then another counterfeit is selfish infatuation. And this is what people sometimes think of as being love. And so a man can believe that he loves a woman, but the reality is it's just his own selfish heart. He only loves her for what she can do for him. And though he thinks that he wants her to be happy, the reality is that he just wants her to be happy if she is with him. And that's selfish infatuation. It's not the love that God delights in. Then there's also love for those who love us. And Jesus spoke about that. Luke 6:32, Jesus says, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." And so if we think we're doing all right because we love people who love us, well, Jesus says, what credit is there for you in that? That's not the love that God desires to see. It's something more than that. And then there's also an unbalanced love. Where in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see someone who has loving words and loving actions. When those two things get separated, what you have isn't something in which God delights. If you have loving words, but there's no loving deeds to accompany those words, well, then that's not the real thing. And where there are loving deeds, but there are no accompanying loving words, well, that's not the real thing either. And in Jesus, we see someone who has the loving words and who has the loving deeds. And it is true. It is a true love in which God delights. So we need to beware of the counterfeits, the things that we can look at in ourselves and think, well, I am a loving person because of this. Well, maybe that's not the love that God is looking for. God's priority is that we grow in love. Well, an important question then, in the third place, is the question, whom shall I love? Who is it that God wants us to love? In what direction is our love meant to flow? And in the scriptures, God tells us different directions in which he wants our love to flow. First of all, God wants us to love him. We are to love God. God is to be our chief love. And that's what Jesus taught, that's what the law of God is all about. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And we are to fear God, we are to revere God, but we are also to love him. And we're to do that because he has first loved us, as we read in 1 John. And we have many evidences of that love of God towards us. Never has a day dawned when we won't have just cause to recognize the love of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for his people because of the love of God, he's never going to be uncrucified. Every day we can think of Christ crucified, and we can see the love of God towards sinners. And God wants us to grow in our love for him. And that is a lifelong thing. And we don't yet love God as we can love God. And there is progress that we can make in our love for God. Maybe we're just toddlers in terms of our love for God. Maybe there's a huge amount of growth that is still there to come. God wants us to love him above all others. But then also the scriptures show us that God wants us to love other Christians. We read that in 1 John 3:14 and in 1 John 4:21. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And also this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. It's God's command. And it's the second greatest commandment, that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. And so the scriptures teach us again and again that those who are called to be followers of the Lord Jesus, that we're to love those other people who have also been called to follow the Lord Jesus. And how will our fellow believers know that we love them? Well, the New Testament pattern of church is one of God's people as a community, where there is loving and sharing, and where people are together. And the church in the days of the apostles, it wasn't just about attending meetings or entering a particular building. It was a new collective identity that people took on. They were one in Christ, and they were part of the gathered family of God. And that's something in which we have room to grow in our love for other Christians. God wants us to grow in that love. We're to love God, we're to love other Christians, and we're to love the lost. We're to love those who are not yet part of the Church of Christ. And we need to pray for the salvation of those who are outside of the visible church. We need to seek in whatever way we can, whatever opportunities we're given, to befriend people and to desire that they would be brought in to the fellowship of God's people. And when that happens, people that come in meet other people, and sometimes other people will be far better at helping someone you know than you will be at helping that person you know. And God knows how to do that work of using those within the church to help those who are brought into the church. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, he writes, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." And Paul talks about sharing his life with people in Thessalonica. And that is a vital part of Christian witness, as we read of it in the New Testament. It's the sharing of life, and Christian witness occurs in the context of real life contacts. That's where the gospel advances. We are to love those who are lost, and we're to grow in our love for those who are lost. And then also, of course, we are to love our family. There is a natural affection within families, but Christians are called to something more. And all of us who have families have room to grow in our love towards our family members. And when that happens, well then, it is noticed. Whether it's your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, brothers or sisters, if there's more patience shown than there used to be, if there's more gratitude, if there's more interest, if there's more time given, if more allowance is made than used to be made, well, that'll be a good thing. And God will be pleased with those little evidences of growth in love for those people that God has deliberately put us together with in our family circles. So whom shall we love? We're to love God, we're to love other Christians, we're to love the lost, and we're to love those within our family. Fourth thing I want to speak about in terms of growth in love is cultivating love. Sometimes there are things you can do to encourage growth. You can plant something and then you can just leave it and wait and see what happens. But it's probably a better idea to do a bit more than that. And how can we seek to cultivate love? What could we do to seek to be people who are growing, progressing in the love that God wants to see within us? Well, we have a choice. We could do nothing And we could just hope that it'll happen without us having to make any effort at all. That God has given us life, and so God will do everything in order that that life will advance. We could do nothing. On the other hand, here's what you can't do. You can't do everything. You can't suddenly transform your life so that in every relationship you're more loving than you've ever been in the past. You can do nothing, but you can't do everything. And therefore, you can do something. And we can seek to do something in order to encourage growth in love. And the first thing is just to take time to reflect. To reflect on those things that God does say to us in the Scriptures about love. Because those words of Scripture are very challenging and very enlightening. Those words in 1 Corinthians 13 about love and what love is and how love behaves itself, those words are always challenging and always helpful. And the verses in 1 John 3 and verse 4 about love, it's good to think about those things, reflect on those things. Let those things sink into our soul and recognize that God really does mean it when he says that without love, we have nothing. So we need to reflect upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Recall what the Lord Jesus taught about the primacy of love and about the high standard of love that he calls us to. So we need to let the word of God regarding love truly sink into our thinking. And then we need to recognize and repent. We need to recognize that we do fall short of what God wants us to be. We need to confess our lack of love. And we need to repent of where we know we have fallen short and where we have sinned. And we need to ask the Lord to give us a heart to love, a heart to obey him in this vital matter. We need to pray that God will cause that this will be a priority in our thinking, that we would want this love for ourselves even as God wants this love to be in us. So we need to recognize what we're like and to repent of our sin. And those would be good things to do. But God expects us to do more than that. And having seen our sin and repented of our sin, well then we need to think about how things could be different. And so the third thing is that we need to target change. And if you take time to examine yourself and think about your life relationships, perhaps God will direct your mind to one particular person in your life. One person where there's scope for change and where God impresses upon you that you really could do better in this relationship. Now, it may be love for God himself. It may be that God will impress upon your heart that the person you need to love more is him. And that could be true for any of us. We fall so far short in terms of loving God with all our heart. And that might be what God would lead you to conclude from what you read in the Scriptures of what God says about love. Or it could be your love for fellow Christians, your love for the lost, or your love for family members. God may place a particular line of thought, lay that upon your heart. It could, of course, be all of them, but none of us will be able to resolve that from now on we're going to love everyone more. That just wouldn't work, and that's just too vague a thing to do. That's like all the world leaders talking about climate change, and they come to the conclusion that we need to do better. Well, that doesn't actually make any difference. They need to decide how they're going to do better. And so that is always our need as well. Why not pray this week that God would lay upon your heart one area in which you need to change? Pray that God will help you to have a target that you could aim at rather than a vague hope, a specific target that you would like to grow in love in this particular relationship or in this particular area. Even one person that God would lay upon your heart as someone that you could begin to pray for like you haven't been praying for them previously. And it might be someone at home, someone in your wider family circle, someone who lives nearby, someone at school, someone you meet in a work situation or in some social setting. But to pray for that person and to pray for yourself to be able to do something that would demonstrate love toward that person. To pray that God will help you to take a definite step in demonstrating love, or a definite step in showing greater love. We need to think along those lines, or we just end up and the scriptures don't have any impact upon us. So we need to target change and allow God to lead you in that. Don't just jump in and think, right, I'm going to do this, but pray about it and pray that God will direct your thoughts, and then accept that if there is something that just comes to you and that's there in your mind, that's God answering your prayer and leading you in a particular direction. So we need to target change. And then the fourth thing is that we need to do something. Unless we do something, well then there isn't any progress. There isn't any growth. And in order to do better than we're doing at present, we will need to make the effort, whether it's the effort to speak to someone, whether it's the effort to give that gift that you've been thinking of giving for a long time, making that visit or that phone call, sending that card, making that offer of help, and you're afraid that maybe it'll be taken the wrong way, giving that word of encouragement. The importance of doing something is absolutely fundamental. The Lord Jesus was not someone who just had good intentions. Jesus showed his love in the things that he did. It wasn't always well received, but he demonstrated love in the things that he did. And we have to do something in order to demonstrate the love that God wants us to have. Is there some way in which in the days to come you can take that step, that effort to show the love of God? Because God wants us to grow in our love. It's 504 years to the day since Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door there in Wittenberg. And among the many good things that Martin Luther said was when he said, the more a person loves, the closer he approaches the image of God. The more you love, the more like God you are, because God is love. And the more you love, the more like the Lord Jesus you are, because Jesus showed us what love is. And today, in these scriptures that we've read, in these things that I've been saying, God is reminding us that if we are to grow as Christians, if we're to make progress as Christians, then let this be the thing in which we grow. God wants us, above all else, to be those who grow in love. Amen. Now we come to God in prayer. And so if you're able, please stand as we pray. Father in heaven, we return thanks to you this evening that you are the God of love. And we recognize that it's not an unreasonable thing that we are asked to do, to love you because of the greatness of the love that you have demonstrated toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. And we thank you, God, for that love of yours that is demonstrated to us again and again, day after day. We thank you, Lord, that it's not just the words on the page that speak to us of the love of God, but it's the things that you do, the things that you provide for us, the practical ways in which we know ourselves to be loved of God. And Lord, we thank you for that love of yours, which is primary. And so we pray that we will recognize how great that is, how wonderful it is to know ourselves to be those who are loved by God. And, oh Lord, we know that there's many people who don't know that at all because they're not believers and they don't know or trust in Christ. And we thank you, oh Lord, for what we have tasted and experienced. And we pray that we will recognize the great preciousness of that. We give thanks for the scriptures that we've been reading, for the reminders from the words of the Lord Jesus and the words of the apostles of the priority of love and how that is the thing that matters most to you, and that your desire is that we should love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And Lord, we acknowledge our sin in regard to this. We sin in not loving you as we should. We sin in not loving fellow believers as we should. We sin within our own family circles, and we sin in terms of our attitude towards those who are lost. And Lord, we pray that you will forgive us for the smallness of our love and for the lack of love that we display. Lord, work in us, and we pray that you will help us, O God, that you would prompt us and prod us in particular directions, that we would be willing, O Lord, to display that love that we ourselves have received. And Lord, we pray that you will cause us to grow, that fruit of the Spirit will develop within us, and so that we might become more like the Lord Jesus Christ himself was. Lord, we ask that you would work in us, that you would give us a heart for this, that we would desire what you desire. We give thanks, O Lord, that you continue to be the God who reaches out across the nations of the earth. And Lord, we thank you for missionaries serving in so many different places and speaking lots of different languages. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon all who are seeking to take the gospel where it is little known, if known at all. We pray for our own missionaries in France and in Spain. We pray that they will know encouragements this week. We pray that there will be ways in which they will recognize that you are at work among the people that they know, And we pray that they will see positive responses to the gospel seed that they're seeking to sow. Give them wisdom, O Lord, in where they give their energies and how they use their time. And Lord, we pray that they will be able to rejoice in serving you. And Lord, we pray for mission at home. We pray for the ordinary life of our congregations and our church members. We pray that you'll help us, O Lord, to seek to be those who are witnesses for you. We pray that you'll help us as we consider that. We pray that you'll open our eyes to see where there are opportunities. We pray that you'll give us people that we can speak with. We pray that those who are hungry and thirsty for truth, that there would be opportunities to speak to people like that. Give us, O Lord, the words that will be helpful and constructive, that will be of use. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be those who seek to be missionaries in wherever you place us. And Lord, help us not to miss those people that you bring across our path, maybe on a one-off basis. And we pray, O Lord, that there'll be folk who keep bumping into other Christians. And we pray, Lord, that there'll be that bit of witness that they hear one place and then another bit somewhere else, and that you'll bring these things together, and that you will pursue those who are unbelievers, O Lord, and that you'll give them no rest until they find that peace that they know others have found in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for our ministry students. We pray that you help them in their early weeks of studies. I pray that you'll help them to keep on top of their studies and to benefit much from all that they're taught. We pray also for our licentiates and help them with two of them just a couple of months before they become eligible for a call. We ask that you be with them in the placements that they're on, and as they once a month would be preaching in vacant congregations, Lord, we pray for all that's involved in those vacancies, considering the students that will become available, and we pray that you would overrule in that and lead and guide in all the choices and decisions that are there. We thank you for your answer to our prayers. We thank you for those three men that you provided 3 years ago to begin their training. And we thank you, Lord, for the two that have begun just now. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to work in men's hearts and raise up men to serve as deacons and elders and ministers and missionaries. And we pray, Lord, that you'll provide all the workers needed within your church. We pray for the Women's Fellowship meeting coming up soon. And we pray just for thoughts about the future gatherings and when it may be possible for ladies to come together in conferences and meetings. We pray, Lord, for those update times, and we pray that that will be beneficial for those who are able to join in that meeting that's coming up soon. Lord, we praise you now for this Lord's Day, and we thank you that you have been good to us and you've been faithful. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to provide for those who've not been able to make it out to morning or evening worship. We pray for those who listen at home, and we thank you, Lord, for the fact that they are able to do that. And we pray that your word will bring a hope and encouragement and direction. And we ask, Lord, for your daily provision for and remembrance of those who are not able to gather with others in the place of worship. We ask, Lord, you'll hear our prayers and do your mighty work throughout the earth in these days. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our closing psalm is from the start of Psalm 118. We sing the first five stanzas, and the tune is main number 113. So the five stanzas on page 289, Psalm 118. O thank the Lord, for he is good, for his love never ends. O let all those of Israel say that his love never ends. Let all the house of Aaron say that his love never ends. Let all who fear the Lord now say that his love never ends. The love of God is a never-ending love, and we are called upon to be like our Father in heaven and to grow in that love which we see in him. So the first five stanzas of the psalm we sing using the tune Main, number 113. We remain seated to sing, and then after the singing, I close in the benediction. I receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.